Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. So I was telling somebody this morning, as I was preparing this message, I kept getting this feeling. You know when you're going on a trip and you're packing and you're like, I'm forgetting something. And you're just sitting there going, and you double check your list and you double check. And you're like, I'm forgetting something. And then I usually get to the point, this happens to me every time I go somewhere. I usually get to the point where I realize people live there, wherever I'm going. So they have the things I will need wherever I'm going, most likely. And if not, it wasn't important enough probably for me to remember it. So I've come to that point here this morning where I've spent quite a bit of time praying about this, talking with people about it, and there's still that nagging sense of, and it could be the time change for this morning. Who knows? But I want to just stop and pray for a minute because where we're going, God is. And I believe that if there's something that I've missed, he'll provide it when it's time for that. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just pray for a second. More for me than for you. So, you know, I'm nothing but not honest. Father God, I am so grateful and honored to be able to speak this morning to these people. And I do believe that you have spoken to me and given me a message. But just in case there's anything I'm missing, Lord, I pray that you would provide that in the moment. Holy Spirit, I know you speak to us. And even if it's something that doesn't come out of my mouth, if it's something that needs to be heard by someone here, that you can supply that in their life. Thank you, God, that you are good and faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just... Woohoo. Okay. I have so many things today. Like, I'm not quite sure what to do. I'm used to having a mic, hair, and so we're all going to play along together today, okay? So, we are in this influencer series, and last week, Chad spoke about apostolic or the apostle influencing style, and I am speaking this week on prophet, and we are basing all of this in the scripture from Ephesians 4. 11 through 13. So I want to just start there this morning with you. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors or shepherds and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So like I said, we're talking about prophet this morning, and we're going to do a little Q&A. I just want you to shout out one at a time so we can all hear what you have to say. But when I say the word prophet, we're doing a little word association. What comes to mind? Naked. Awesome. What else comes to mind when you hear? Bold, okay. Black and white. What did you say? Truth, okay. Rude. I mean, maybe. Truth. I agree. Truth teller. Anything else come to mind when I say the word prophet? Isaiah, poet. Abraham. Critical, okay. Discerning, good one. I like that one. I like all of them. I'm always the person that when someone says they like something and then they didn't say it about mine, I worry. I liked all of them, just so you know. Even yours. All right. Where do you guys get these ideas? Like, where is it that you're getting this idea of what a prophet is? I'd be interested in that as well. Where do you feel like you're getting your information about what a prophet is? The Old Testament, tradition. Anything else? From that book, Find Your Place. Yep, the book that we've been reading for the Locating Your Life. The movies, yes, that is true. Okay, so when I hear the word prophet, I immediately think of this big, bushy, bearded guy with wild and crazy eyes. Oh, wait, that's Josh. When I hear the word, I just moved it. I'm not onto the next slide. You don't have to pay attention to it, but I didn't want you to all have to stare at Josh being crazy at you. So, yeah, there's lots of, like, ideas about what it is to be a prophet, lots of stereotypes, lots of preconceived notions. And the reason I wanted to start with that this morning was I wanted to address that. Like, we are talking about prophet, and we're saying some of you are that, and I can say that I know none of you are naked. And none of you are, you know, well, there are some bushy bearded guys here. But as we're talking about this, it's good to start with what we already assume or think about this type of person, so that, because it can blind us from what that the function of this calling really is. If we're coming and going, well, I know this is what a prophet is, then sometimes that can skew us. And we may even, like, if you took the GPS test that he was talking about and you got prophet, you might be going, that's not who I am. I don't know what you're talking about. And part of it is we just don't always fully understand really what it can look like. So Alan Hirsch is one of the foremost speakers, researchers, on this, experts on this topic of the fivefold ministry that we see in Ephesians, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. And as he's been researching the idea of prophet, he came up with this. He began to see that there was actually two dimensions to being a prophet. And those two dimensions work in connection with one another to really bring about the fullness of what it is for this function and this calling. This twofold distinction helps highlight the limitations of reducing the prophet gift into either the mystical charismatic dimension or the social justice activist dimension type. In a mature biblical expression of the prophetic, the two belong together. So today I want to explore that a little bit with you, these two dimensions and the two halves that make up a prophet. And in some ways, they're actually opposing to each other. Another way to put them together is to say loving God and loving others, or even passive and active. There's both a passive and an active aspect of being a prophet that I think sometimes we don't always recognize both, or sometimes we see people only moving in one or the other. So I wanted to discuss that with you. We're going to start with the vertical aspect. This aspect is all about loving God. It's God-centered. It's this attentiveness to God. It's an obedience. It's a sensitivity to things that are happening in the Spirit. It is seeing where maybe our relationship with God might potentially be damaged or broken or on the verge of being that. And that is one of the main areas that the prophets you'll see throughout Scripture are working in. This breaks down into three different elements of it. So this vertical dimension goes into, oh, that's really little. I'm sorry, guys. I'll read it. So it says, cultivate a culture of God-centeredness through worship and highlight the need for listening prayer and for responsible and responsive obedience to God. So this is all about being present with him, being focused on him, being centered in him, that the center of our being is found in God. Then we express that through our times of worship, through our times of prayer, through the soul care that we do. The next one is feel what God feels and stay open and malleable. God is passionate and complex. Yet again, here we see this paradigm of where he can be amazingly loving and compassionate and full of grace, and yet also jealous and angered and sorrowful. And these are all wrapped up together. And this is something that the prophet will feel deeply. They'll see these situations happening. They'll see what's going on. And they'll feel that so strongly that sometimes you can't even verbalize it, what you're feeling or why you're feeling that way. But it's because you're connecting to what God is feeling. As he's, you know, look at how Jesus, when he's overlooking Jerusalem and he just wants to gather them together and protect them. He's connecting to that father heart of God. Then last one for this whole vertical way that we connect with God, that us to God, is how we encounter God. And this is best described, there's multiple metaphors that's used within scripture to go through this. So there's this idea of they use an ear and how it's that same like in the Shema. It's hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and it's your hearing. And there's the word that's used there is actually, it's hear and obey. So it's not just hearing to listen and take in, but it's hearing with an obedience attached to it. And you're being attentive and you're focused on God. The other metaphor that's used is an eye. And that's where you're seeing. I was talking with someone this morning about how the prophets, they see things differently. They see things as God sees it. Or you connect to this idea of vision or imagination, where a lot of times people who have this prophetic influencing style or have this, that they'll look and see things and they'll get out of a picture, they'll get something that doesn't naturally appear to everyone else. You can look at a symbol and get a sermon just by looking at, like, God is speaking to you in this amazing way. A lot of times the people that have that talent, that's why they end up being the worship pastors or artists or things, because they're able to express, they're able to see with that heavenly eye or mind's eye, and then go and express that in ways that speaks to people about a lesson just by what they've created. The next one is the mouth. And this is probably the one that we're most related to, is being the mouthpiece of God, like prophets speaking for God or verbalizing the message of God or foretelling things. But they also do that, like I said, through visualization. So being naked was one way that they were trying to get their message across. Who was that again? Isaiah. He used to preach naked. Hosea married a prostitute to make to show God's love and his grace. And then Ezekiel lay on his side for 430 days. To make a point to show, like, there's all these, and I mean, it's crazy, I get it, but I think it's so fun. I love it. I'm always like, oh, that's cool. Look at the way that they tried to figure out how to share the message in a new way. And then the last one is the heart. And again, that's feeling that heartbeat of God, feeling what he's feeling and being in tune to that. So these are all the ways that we connect vertically with God. And from that, like I said, they go in correlation, right? So there's these two dimensions. There's the vertical and there's the horizontal. Well, the vertical way really influences the horizontal one, because it's through what we've learned about God. It's through how we interact with him. It's through the things we're getting from him that we then go out and do the prophetic tasks that we see happen so much, the way we engage and interact with the world around us. So everything flows from that. So next we've got that horizontal one. And there's a few of them. And honestly, I planned on spending more time on this morning. But as I, again, was praying and felt like I was missing something, this I realized isn't really necessarily the important message that I have to share about this. So we're talking a little bit. I'm teaching you a little bit about prophets. But there's more I want to talk about at the end. So we may go through this a little quickly here. If you have more questions, I can give you books to read. The whole thing here is be holy just as God is holy, right? So prophets, they will call to repentance. This is something where we as a church say, are we willing to learn and unlearn and relearn? Are we willing to repent and confess of the things that we are doing that isn't in accordance with what we know God to be? speaking the truth to power? Are we no respecters of persons? Are we willing to go and speak the truth regardless of who it is? Are we willing to stand up against abuse of power and institutions? Nathan did this to David, and it turned out well because David repented. John the Baptist did this to Herod, didn't turn out quite as well. He still did it, though. Maintaining sensitivity to spiritual warfare. Are we willing to identify in battle that we're in a spiritual realm? What we can see with our eyes isn't all there is. Amen? And Jesus, when he was starting his ministry, he went into the synagogue and he opened the scroll and he read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed." And all of those sound like physical things, but when you look at the way that Jesus did it, it was spiritual. He would say, "Your sins are forgiven." And people would look at him like, "You're nuts." And he'd say, "Okay, well, if you don't think I can do that, stand up and walk." So it wasn't a physical thing for him. It was a spiritual thing. So the way he was coming to do this, this prophetic movement he was doing, was in that spiritual realm, doing battle there, knowing where the real issue was. Not what was being visibly manifested, but what was happening spiritually behind it. The people that have this gifting, they're the ones that are attuned to that. Their spidey senses start going off, right? No spoilers, I haven't seen the new Spider-Man. All right, and then distinguishing true and false worship. So this is about idolatry and what it is that is our relationship with God as genuine as it could be. Are we willing to identify and admit things, people, or ideas we worship in place of God? And as I was talking about this and thinking about this, so often the things that are idols in our life we see as good. And sometimes it takes someone who has this insight to be able to look and say, "That's death to you. That is not bringing life. That is not bringing wholeness. That is not in accordance with what God is asking you to do." And it could be something that's good. But sometimes they have that sense, that ability to recognize that this has become an idol. This has taken the place of something that God should be in my life. The last two are championing justice, which as I was going through this is like the life verse of all prophets, I feel. So so many prophets I know, I see them, this is like their thing that they want to promote all the time. But it's Micah 6:8, and it says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." I see this like, I mean, it's like their Pinterest favorite pin, right? Do justice. Let me find it again. Do justice. Where's my prophets at? What's the verse? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. They're all about justice. They're all about the downtrodden. They're all about the marginalized. They're all about those people that can't help themselves, so how do we help them? Right? This is that heartbeat for them. And then finally, the last one is develop learning through questioning. Are you willing to question the status quo? Are you willing to question traditions, question practices, question our existing culture? I have a little story about this. When we had just moved down to Southern California, and we were at a church that we'd been at before, but we'd been away for about 3 years. So we knew kind of the history there. We knew the culture there. And this other couple, they were newer to the church as well. And we all were invited to go on the staff retreat for this. And so we're sitting there and we're on this staff retreat and we're talking about the church and we're talking about what we're doing and the vision and the mission and all of this. And the church had a daycare, and the daycare was the main way that this church was connecting with the community. It was a fantastic daycare. It was well run. Half of the people that were on staff at the church actually were on staff at the daycare, and that's how they were able to do both church and daycare. It was a way of getting income. It was fantastic, high caliber. But this guy comes in and he goes, "Tell me about the daycare. Why do we have this daycare? What's the point of it? What are we doing with it? And just asking a bunch of questions, which, to be honest, were reasonable questions, but it was the status quo. It was the tradition. This was the, like, we don't question the daycare. And you could hear, like, you could hear the tension in the room when these questions started coming up. And I don't even know that it was necessarily that he didn't think we should do the daycare. It was more just questioning it because he'd never been there. And so, and he's very prophetic. He's very much a prophet. And so it was very interesting to be in that moment and go, oh, okay. So this is something you guys feel real strong about. And like, but he was willing to ask the questions that not always everyone's willing to ask the questions, right? Prophets will. So these are the ways, not only as a, this is the ways that we as a church should be functioning. It's one of the ways. When you look at Ephesians, is supposed to be, it's like the handbook for churches, right? When you look at the whole book of Ephesians, it's like, this is how to run a church. It's Paul's way. And so he's talking about what things should be in a church. And the problem is that I feel like we, not I feel like, I know, because we've, this is partly why Alan Hirsch started his research. There's some of these elements of the functionings of a church that have been overlooked for centuries. This idea of the prophetic within churches has been downgraded and in many ways eliminated from what the church does. The other ones, the apostle that Paul was, or Chad was talking about, that one too has been downgraded. It's seen an upswell more than the prophet one is. In many ways, being prophetic and being a prophet is one of the, it is the hardest function and calling that is in our church, that is in our society. So let's get into that a little bit more of what it looks like for the individuals. Because these people that have this calling, so yes, we as a church need to be doing this. We need to make sure we're in balance, that we're vertically connecting with God and we're horizontally connecting with the world around us and the people around us. But there's individuals, just like a company has departments and then there's people that specialize within that department. Our church has a department of a prophet or prophetic that we should be moving in as a church. And then there's individuals within that department that specialize in it that are called prophets or have that specific calling they're moving in. These people do all they can to listen to God, see what he sees, feel something of what he feels, speak and act on his behalf, and call people to faithfulness and obedience. This is not something that's magically imparted on you when you become a Christian. This is something that is a part of who God created you to be. It's part of your makeup. I love this verse from Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Jeremiah, he's saying this to God, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. And we all have our reasons why we can't speak, right? There's, if God calls you to this, there's always a reason of, I can't. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. Appointed, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is who a prophet is. Yes, he's saying this to Jeremiah, but this is who God has created the prophets in our midst to be. He has called you and formed you from the time you were born to be like this. And the problem is, frequently, we treat you poorly. Frequently, because this type of person can be an agitator for change. I see you, Tamara. They can be volatile and divisive. I said that wrong. They tend to ask very pointed questions. They tend to highlight what they know is what God's called us to, the gap between where we are at and what we are to be, and the actions we need to take to get to where we're supposed to be. They have a tendency to recognize and reveal that space. They can be critical, but also energizing. And here's the thing. You have to be critical first. But then you do have to follow it up with the energizing. It's that same balance of loving God and loving people. It's that same balance of passive and active. You start first by being present in that vertical, of being there in what God has for you and being in his heart space, having his heart for people, focusing your attention on him, being his eyes and ears and mouth and heart. And then that, through what you know of who he is, through what you know of how he feels about the people around you, that's how you then move out into that. And yeah, there still is that criticalness. And so because of that, because people don't like being told what they know they need to know, you get rejected. And they're not necessarily rejecting the prophets, they're rejecting God. But oh gosh, does it feel like a rejection? They are the most difficult apex calling. There's a personal vulnerability that comes along with it. They're often rejected. They're frequently lonely. Look at the prophets that you see in Scripture. They're not always with a group of people. They're out there naked. They're out there in, you know, furs, eating honey. Right? Like it's, I'm joking, but really it can be a lonely place to be. And you're frequently misunderstood. And so this is where I feel like we were getting to. I do want to mention, because I think this is one of the things that I love the most about as we were talking about this series, that it isn't just within the church that you behave in this way. We're not one person in church and one person out in society at our jobs, right? Like we are holistically who we are. And so you'll even see people who aren't Christians functioning in this way outside of the church. Outside of the church, it looks like people who are agents for cultural change. They're frequently in social justice, social science, marketing, financing, or strategic planning positions. They see the big picture. They're able to get things going. They like rules and order. This is black. This is white. This is how it's supposed to go. Let's get back quality control. They have foresight and a sense of timing to see opportunities, marketplace needs, and potential pitfalls. They're frequently people that are advising leadership because they're not afraid to speak the truth to leadership. So they're in positions where they're willing to speak. They're that truth teller. Regardless of what truth they're telling, they're willing to tell the truth when it comes to a leader. They analyze situations. They call attention to problems. They do encourage and exhort and create and develop. Recently, we went through this Enneagram workshop. Anybody? I've kind of been doing a deep dive on that lately. It's if you haven't heard of it, it's like a personality profiling tool thing. And I thought I was one thing, and then come to find out through some of the stuff, and this is probably why Andrew said this about you're not stamped by what you are, because he's been saying that to me quite a bit lately. But I found out maybe I'm a different type of person than I thought I was. And I grieved it because I didn't like that person. I didn't like them. And I know that I've given quite a few negative things, or it can sound, especially if you're feeling like you are a prophet, it can sound like there's been a lot of negative stuff said about who the prophets are. That's because that's what we've allowed it to become. That's what we've allowed you to think about yourself, and that's how the church and society has treated you, and I'm sorry for that. Says the prophet. Deprived of the prophetic, the church would fail to stand against unfaithfulness, unrighteousness, and injustice. Well, we have excommunicated a lot of the prophetic from the church for centuries. And we have this whole generation of young adults now that are so socially minded. They're so for the downtrodden, the marginalized, the infringed. And yet we also talk about how we're not seen in the same way that they're having that religious connection. And we wonder why. And the problem is, this is who they're created to be. This is who they are. They are a generation of prophets. They're moving in that horizontal that they know to move in. And yet that balance isn't there. That's why we have these parachurch ministries. That's why we have these areas that of people doing so immense good. Such immensely wonderful things. But it needs that balance, or else it just becomes activism. It's that combination. It's that balance between loving God and loving people, and what's the heart behind it, and why am I doing it? And then, on the opposite side, if we have people that are just fully, solely focused on, I'm focused on God, I'm focused on God, this is what's true, this is what's right, this is the law, this is what we need to do, that's where you get those that are out there railing in unhealthy ways about how we're supposed to live our lives according to God, because their heart for the people isn't there, right? So it's only in maturity and in combination of the two dimensions being together that we see this unfold into this beautiful, beautiful function of the church. I don't think I ever really realized it because I haven't I never thought about Jesus and how he was just Jesus, right? But as you start looking into it and how he moved in the prophetic, how he reached out to those who were on the fringes, how he cared about that justice side, but he also spent his time. He would go off and be on his own. He would go off and spend that time with God. He'd go and recenter himself, and then he could have the compassionate ministry that he needed to have. So the main thing that I want to share this morning that I think one of the things I know about myself to be true is that I frequently look and go, okay, well, what do we do with this? What do I do now? And there's nothing to do this morning. There's nothing for all of you who have that same like, okay, God, you're speaking to me. Now what's my action? This morning, I just want to remind you and invite you into that space of the vertical with God. Again, talking about Jesus, he started his ministry and he was baptized and the dove came down and the voice of God. And what did it say? This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He had not done anything yet. God was pleased with him because he was his son, because of his identity, because of his nature. God loves you. Because of who you are his beloved child. Rest in that. Soak in that. Then let's go do all the things. But if we try to do that backwards, oh gosh, what a mess. Believe me, I know. I'm a doer of all the things. I want to take some time this morning. If you want to come on up, we're going to just do one more song and to sit in that moment, to sit in that truth, to sit in, this is something, like I said, that God has called the entire church to. Yes, there's specific people that move in this more predominantly, but the reality of it is that Jesus moved in all of them. And if we are to be moved into the maturity of Christ, then we're going to have all five also. So let's take that time this morning just to sit. You don't even have to sing. Sorry, Matthew. But just be still. Be in his presence. Be in that attuned moment with him. Then we can go do all the things. You couldn't earn it. This is how God created you to be. And he loves you just as he made you to be. In that fullness and resting in that. If this is new information for you, I would like to invite you to pray a prayer with us that we pray every week that will allow you to enter into that vertical relationship. Maybe you've been functioning. You said, I recognize that I've been functioning in that horizontal. I've been doing all the things for all the people and fighting the good fight. Let's get you some power. Amen. So let's pray together this morning. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and trust. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. If you normally come to the 9 a.m., we're getting caught up. But if you're at the 10, look at how much early we got out. So have a good rest of your week.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.